Soycle. It's Thursday, so that means Dr. Mike is here to fix your life and your lineup.
Pray on their desperation. That's my advice as a psychologist. Pray on the desperation of others.
You totally need that plaque in your office, Dr. Mike.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, ha-ha, funny power hour, whatever order of words that we say for that thing.
I like that one.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I am Kristen Bry, your host. Jane Matinair is on the board. Thank you for joining us today. As always, and particularly for this segment, because it's your last chance for a while, we would love to hear your questions about your life or bets you want to take this weekend, 844-967-2789, because it is our last segment of Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup, at least for a little while. This is the segment where Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who works as a executive coach and has been featured on NPR and New York Times, joins us to help us tackle topics like career and love and fitness and family. And to, well, he was helping us set up my lineup specifically for fantasy football, but also help us win free money making bets on DraftKings. And he's also been my best friend for 15 years, which is very good for me. But the season's over. The Super Bowl is this weekend. And so we are going to bring him back sporadically to get his advice on psychology type things. But for now, this is the last one. I'm kind of sad.
I'll be back. Some cameos. We'll have some fun, and I'll certainly be back next fall, and we'll do it all over again. It'll be great. It's good to see you both. How was your week?
Week was good. Well, it's snowing hard here right now, so we're gonna have to drive safely home and turn our lights on when our windshield wipers. That's the theme of today. But no, things are good here. We are powering through the week, powering through February. You know, next week we'll already be halfway through February, which is crazy. But I figured we would jump into a question that we received. If you have a question for Dr. Mike, 844-967-2789, you can either call us or text us. But for now, we are starting with a love and relationship question. So here we go. Dear Dr. Mike, I'm a 35-year-old guy with a lifelong issue with decision-making. I can never decide what choice to make, and then life seems to pass me by. The issue is rearing its head again right now in a big way. I'm currently deciding whether or not to be in a relationship with the woman who's been my best friend for years. Everyone says that we should be together. We are emotionally and sometimes sexually intimate, and we want the same things in life, but yet I still wonder if there's someone better out there for me. I do this same analysis paralysis thing with choosing jobs, cities, you name it. What should I do this time? Should I play it safe and just keep her as my best friend or give it a shot?
For those of you watching live on Facebook or any other media, I hope you're watching Jane's face while Kristen was reading that.
I have thoughts.
The answer was... Yeah. The answer was written all over Jane's face there. I can see this thing where I saw the question right there at the end. You don't want to mess up the friendship. And I think that is, in all fairness, a fine question. I think a lot of us have been there before. But I think the bigger question is this thing that's been bothering you since, sounds like forever. Life passes you by while you're too busy making plans, right? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I move? Should I stay? And then all of a sudden you're 35 and you say, oh, maybe I haven't done anything. There's this great quote by one of the all-time best Stoics. I've been really into the Stoics the last couple of years, Seneca, and I'm going to ruin the quote and totally slaughter it. So send your hate mail to Kristen Bry if you'd like, not to me. But it goes something like, there's one thing that all fools have in common. It's that they're all waiting for life to happen. I think that While we're all waiting for life to start, or we're all waiting for life to get going, but we never actually do anything about it, that's one of the saddest stories that we could ever sort of tell, or that people could really sort of tell about us. So if you're waiting for something to happen, it's never going to. I say not necessarily with this woman. You got to make that decision, right, for yourself. But you got to go for something someday, right? So if everybody around you is telling you you should probably be together, and you're already kind of acting like you are together, you want the same things in life, I think I'd have a discussion with this person and sort of say, maybe we can have some boundaries here. Right? Maybe we can say, why don't we try it for this amount of time and see what it's like? Or maybe, you know, we sort of say, you know, is there a point of return that we can say we can always go back to being friends, right? We can, you know, have a little trial run or something like that. It's not all or nothing. A lot of folks that I work with who have these sort of similar issues, they kind of feel like there's this slippery slope. If I move from, you know, Boise to Los Angeles, what if it doesn't work? Boise's not going anywhere. You can always go back. You know, if I take this job, what if? Okay, you can always quit the job. You can always do something else, right? So I think if you have this discussion with this person, it's that good of a friendship. Perhaps you can always go back to that friendship.
Jane, do you want to give your what your immediate reaction was?
If I may, I just think this person needs to consider which relationship is of more value. Sometimes having a really good friend is much longer lasting and even equally important to a romantic partner. I think good friendships can be really hard to find and are really valuable. And maybe you're not right romantically. And I don't know, once you start sleeping together, how you can go back to just being buddies, Dr. Mike.
It sounds like they already have been sleeping together. Yeah.
So I just, I don't know how you just, okay, that didn't work. Let's pretend that never happened.
Yeah. What do you think, Kristen?
I always wonder, for you as a psychologist and a coach, because what I heard as far as that lingering thought of what if there's someone better out there, because I think so often the ideal situation is you're a heck yes or an F yes when you meet a person and you're both really excited. And is in your experience with your clients that lingering thought or the grass is greener or the what if, is that more self-sabotage or is that something you should listen to? And it's something that is indicating that you're not necessarily all in on this person.
That's a great question, right? So I want to ask more questions about this person as far as, tell me the last time you felt hell yes about something, right? Tell me about, you know, do you feel hell yes about your job? Do you feel hell yes about your car? Do you feel hell yes about your apartment, about your city, about a lot of other things? Because it is a personality type, right? That a lot of people we know who we will not name on this program, Kristen Bry, who are never satisfied with anything. It's never good enough for them, is it? Do we know anybody that's coming to mind? That we have any mutual friends who are just never good enough? They're just, the world is just handed us, you know, hands them something and they just have nothing but complaints, right? It's just everything's always a B minus, no matter what is given to them.
No, it's usually anybody an A for a while, but it only lasts like 3 months.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think a lot of us know these types of folks where it's always sort of like, yeah, it's pretty good, it's fine, yeah, right? Where it's like, okay, the grass is always greener. Let's be cliche on a Thursday afternoon, folks. The grass is greenest where you water it. It really, truly is, right? And so, you know, as you keep looking, fine, keep looking. I'm not, you know, if you are wanting to get knocked over and feel a hell yes, by all means, keep looking. That's absolutely fine. But, you know, it's also, there's something to be said for the fact that if, you know, this person is so great and great to you, and like Jane said, you're already, you've crossed the Rubicon and you're sleeping together and you're already being intimate in several ways, you know, you're already kind of giving it a go. Yeah. you might want to just, you know, give it an actual shot. You know, we're not here to tell you how to live your lives, but I think
we're kind of here to tell you how to live your lives. But this is our weekly segment, Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Lineup with Dr. Michael McCutcheon, which is the last time for a little while that it will be on. And so I want to set up the next prompt, and we'll answer it on the other side of the commercial. Because so we've been at last month, we were doing easy ways to fix your life without a lot of effort. And we had a couple of those. And now the New York Magazine put out 194 etiquette tips for 2023 of how we text and tip and do our lives. And we're up to number 5 because we're doing a couple a day. And I feel like this is a good question for you as a coach and psychologist, because this is framed as advice instead of a question. But I feel like it's something that you still probably come in contact with when you're talking to your clients about relationships. So the advice is this, and what I want you to answer when we come back is this advice you would give? So number 5 on this New York Magazine list is, don't use friends as foreplay. If, as a couple, you start an argument in the middle of a group of friends, that group of friends may start looking a lot like potential allies. Resist that urge. Do not attempt to shore up support. Do not ask if you are clearly in the right. Continue debating with your significant other if you must, but leave the others out of it. Your addiction to argument isn't everyone else's kink.
You know what? The reason I'm taking a break from this show is because you guys don't ask me enough Hunter Biden questions. I'll say it. I just don't get it. That's my kink.
That is
frankly.
Your kink. You and Ron Johnson. All right. So think about that. Noodle on that. Because I think there's a lot there as far as people who do that. But I think even when you're not debating in person, I think there's people who do this after a fight with a spouse, and then they go to their friends and they only get one side of that story, and they're looking for support from friends. Again, this is something that in the past I have been guilty of. And so maybe some replacement tactics for people who do that, of how to keep it within the relationship. So when we come back, Dr. Mike will still be here. He will give us his thoughts on that prompt. And then we will get to some Super Bowl bets and where you should put your money on for this weekend. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything inside. But when I kissed that cop down on 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Simple fact of plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are doing our weekly segment of Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup with Dr. Michael McCutcheon. And so before the break, we set up getting whether or not this is advice that he would give. And this is taken from our new segment that we've been doing as far as reading through New York Magazine's tips and etiquette advice. And so I'll read it one more time, and then we'll get the thoughts from the doctor. Don't use your friends as foreplay. If, as a couple, you start an argument in the middle of a group of friends, that group of friends may start looking a lot like potential allies. Resist that urge. Do not attempt to shore up support. Do not ask if you are clearly in the right. Continue debating with your significant other if you must, but leave the others out of it. Your addiction to argument isn't everyone else's kink. So, Dr. Mike, would you, one, give us advice, but also for people who have a tendency to want their feelings validated when they are fighting with their partner and try to get that from friends, either in the moment or after a fight, what would you suggest a replacement behavior should be?
I appreciated the commercial break to think about this. So thank you. I needed it. I actually would, far be it for me to tell New York Magazine what to do, but I actually would rename this from Don't Use Friends as Foreplay to Know Your Audience, because I think some groups of friends would kind of like this, right? You know, Chris and I have both dated very opinionated people in our past, right? We've dated lawyers, we've dated know-it-alls, right? And I think that we would kind of like actually being in a us versus them, like three-on-three, little bit of like a happy hour, like, you know what? I'm with Kristen on this one, actually. We're here, you know, I think some people would like that. And if so, and to this, like, you know, if you and your partner would like to continue your argument, if you must, I would not like to be out at dinner with something and two people are still talking while we're still there. That sounds terrible to me. So no, I think it's a know your audience. If some people would like to have a little friendly banter debate, maybe great. If that's not what that audience is, and it's we haven't seen each other in a long time, we're all getting together and that's not who that is, just don't do it at all and save it until you're home, just the two of you. So I think this is more of a know your audience thing. That would be my feedback.
And what about, because that is, I feel like there's also the difference between an argument and a debate, right? Mm-hmm. If there's debating definitely, on a topic definitely. Of, am I, you know, it, I had this one case where friends, I was called, I wasn't even in the dinner party. I was called separately to ask my opinions on whether or not I have strong feelings about circumcising my future non-existent son, because that was the debate and they needed that much more extra. Someone was very much looking for support. And so I get at a point that it's a debate. I think it is a little different when people are actually fighting and looking I'm right in this situation versus I'm right on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just asking me, don't fight in public. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You know, even if you're right, if you fight in public, you look wrong, even if you're right. So just don't do it. And I've been polled on the circumcision thing as well. And that's one thing to take a poll. It's a whole other thing to say, will you tell this man to circumcise his child? That's a whole other thing, right? So yeah.
All right.
Well, tone matters.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on because it's the last week of football until the fall. And so I know Jane cannot wait till Rihanna's halftime show.
So excited.
Yes. I still need to send you that playlist of the only song Jane knows of Rihanna's is Umbrella, but she's missing out a lot. You're really missing out on Rude Boy.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay. But let's talk about some fun bets that people can make in the big event for this weekend. So, Mike, what surefire bet are you going to take on Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, it's the big game, so I have two surefire bets for you. One is a wide receiver for the Eagles, Devonta Smith. I love Devonta Smith. He went to Alabama, so did Jalen Hurts, quarterback. I love them both. Devonta Smith, over 4.5 catches. So means he'll have 5 or more catches. He was leading receiver for them. I love him. I love that. I love that bet. I think he's going to get a zillion catches. Hammer that. Make some money off of that. And also, Jerick McKinnon, a running back for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes loves dumping the ball off to him. He's his outlet guy. It's only 2.5 catches for him. So hammer both of those. So two surefire bets, hit both of those. So over 4.5 catches for Devonta Smith for the Eagles, over 2.5 catches for the running back, Jerick McKinnon, for the Chiefs. I love both of those. I think they're both can't miss.
All right. And who's going to win?
Do you see what color I'm wearing right now? What color am I wearing, Kristen Bry? Green. Fly, Eagles, fly. Okay. I think the Eagles are going to win handily. I like it. 34-24. 34-24,
oh, wow.
Eagles. I like it.
You
yeah, I love them.
It's a far superior team.
I think they've got the better. They're going to win in the trenches. The offensive lines and the defensive lines are going to run Mahomes all over the field. And I just believe it. I think they have too many skill players. It's going to overwhelm them. And I think they're going to win, and I secretly hope they're going to win.
All right, so, last question. You got a minute. What are the most fun bets out there for people like me and Jane and our listeners to make on Sunday?
So many fun bets. You can bet on the length of the national anthem. You can bet on what you think Chris Stapleton, who's singing the national anthem, what his outfit's going to be. But I'm turning the tables on you, too. Final two bets of the season. you two are going to make the final two bets. Jane, you're making the final bet of the season. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Jane, you're gonna do it. What will the Gatorade color be, Jane, that they're going to pour on the winning coach?
It will be orange.
Will it be orange?
Orange.
Orange?
Yeah.
All right, write it down. We were talking about this on Monday.
I'm writing it down. Orange. Okay. And Kristen, what will the first song that Rihanna will sing at the halftime show? Will it be We Found Love, Diamonds, Umbrella, Stay, What's My Name, or Don't Stop the Music, or something else?
Don't Stop the Music.
Don't Stop the Music. You heard it here. Jane and Kristen, Super Bowl betting experts, folks.
We will check those bets on Monday. Thank you, friend. When we come back, the Beer Baron is here, Chris Drosner, with some beer news. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You see there's us, and then there's you. You suck. We're really, really great.
Really great.
In contrast, you really suck.
Really suck.
Okay, full disclosure, we're not that great, but nevertheless.
Sit around and play. Gonna hit balls off the dock. Kick back in my flip-flops. Don't owe nothing to the lender.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is the last half hour of our Thursday show. The snow has calmed down and is already melting, it looks like. What a weird weather day
for Waukesha. Yeah, it's been
strange. It is that time of the month when we are getting our beer news from the Beer Baron. Our guest, Chris Drosner, is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and is also the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal, which he's been doing for 11 years. So the guy knows a thing or two about beer in Wisconsin. And so welcome back, friend.
Thanks for having me back, Kristen. I'm excited to be here.
So some big news. I guess there's a conversation happening around bottle versus beer because a Milwaukee area brewing company has made a decision to switch it up. So what is the story there?
Yeah, so Lakefront Brewery was really one of the last holdouts in bottles, I guess, the duality here being, are you going to put your beer in bottles or in cans? And A few of the craft brewers in Wisconsin were still doing bottles. The overwhelming trend recently has been shifting from bottles to cans. And usually when you make this shift, you kind of go cold turkey on the bottles and just embrace the cans. And that's what Lakefront's doing. They had been doing some beer in cans, but they're switching entirely over to from taking out their bottling line and putting in a canning line. And they say, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that this is a trend. And one of them, there's some environmental benefits to this. Both aluminum and glass are highly recyclable. So that's good news, but there's just less like stuff with the cans. You know, aluminum is a lot lighter. You don't need as much of it per individual package. So, that helps. Cans also use less cardboard and, there's less other packaging that's needed as well. And the big thing is the weight. I mean, a can is a lot lighter than a bottle, and that translates to major efficiencies in shipping. So Lakefront is estimating that they'll save as much as 50% in shipping costs plus the added benefits of the carbon stuff. And cans are just better for beer too. Like, they're opaque. They don't let any light in. So light can actually degrades beer, particularly craft beer styles that like IPAs and pale ales, anything with like that's kind of hop forward. So that's good. And then they also just are more convenient for consumers. Like you can pack them up in a cooler more easily.
They don't
you
break.
Can take them. They don't break. That you can take them to the beach. You can take them pretty much anywhere. Whereas bottles are just a little bit more hassle.
So it seems like a good thing across the board. So is there anyone who is not happy about this or would be is pro bottle, anti can?
Well, I mean, I think there's some consumers who prefer the bottle still, you know, and I think this is mostly for folks who are drinking out of the bottle. You know, you it's a much more similar experience to drinking out of a glass when your lips are actually touching glass versus the aluminum can. But like for craft beer, you should not be drinking. Please, if you're hearing one thing from this whole thing, let it be that you should not drink your beer out of the package that it comes in. You should use a glass, or if you're at a tailgate or a picnic or whatever, a cup works just fine. It you know, you're tasting and experiencing more of the beer when you have your face over that cup, and you're getting, you think of how much the opening in each of these vessels, right? A cup versus mm-hmm. a bottle versus a can. Those two are very small. Aroma is a huge part of flavor. And if you really want to experience the beer, sometimes maybe you don't. So maybe those beers you can drink out of a can or a bottle.
My mind just went to, it's a lot easier to shotgun a beer than snorkel a bottle.
That is a great point. That's a great
just
point.
Saying. I'm just saying, yeah. I don't know if you're enjoying the beer when you do either of those things. So one is significantly easier than the other.
If you're doing it all in one breath, a can is way easier, yes.
So you're saying no matter what, as far as to really enjoy a good beer, you should be putting in, no matter whether it's a bottle or a can, please pour it into a cup of some sort, whether a glass, a red solo cup or like a glass cup.
Anything.
Either.
Yes.
Okay.
You see this. And I mean, like if you're a beer geek, you will see that you'll see these, you know, elaborate glass where there's a different like style of glass, you know, different shape and size and all that stuff that kind of is suited to various different beer styles that accentuate different elements of those beers. If you want to go that way, that's okay. But really, just any beer that opens the beer up to aroma, you know, a lot of better beer glasses have a little bit of fluting where the lip turns inward slightly to kind of capture some of those aromas and hold them in the bowl of the glass. That's preferable, much preferable to the, you know, the standard pint glass that you find in a lot of bars that where it just goes outward. You know, but even that is better than drinking out of a bottle. And I understand the point of cans versus, like, you know, preferring bottles over cans when you're in that situation, because I mean, you know, years ago cans were pretty like bad, and but the linings and everything has kind of developed a lot more. You're not going to be tasting anything but the beer except for that little, you know, at the mouth of the can, you know there is some area where the beer comes in contact with metal that's not lined, and that's just, you know, how it's going to be. But that doesn't, you know, that's not going to affect the taste if you pour it out into a glass.
Got it. We are talking to Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine and also the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal, and getting some new beer news of stuff happening around the state. And in kind of shifting gears from the Lakefront Brewing deciding to go all cans, but there is another company, like small but with Milwaukee business, that's basically solving another problem when it comes to like the labels that are printed on either, is it mm-hmm. labels that are printed on bottles?
It's normally printed on cans. So,
okay.
First of all, let's like talk about this problem. I mean, like okay. It's a minor problem, but during the pandemic, this is one of those things that kind of went from a small problem to a big problem for craft brewers. And that is, you know, when you're ordering all these cans, if you're doing a small batch run, you know, if say you have a brewery like Gathering Place, you know, you've got, this is a brewery in Milwaukee, River West. So you've got like, I think they have a 10 barrel system in there. So if you do one batch of a beer and you want to sell just that batch in cans, you know, that might be, that's a very small order of cans. So you're not going to have those printed, because the minimum order that you get for a printed can, you know, these companies are built to service companies. So these suppliers are built to service companies like Pepsi and Coke and Miller and, you know, that have or ordering, you know, tens of thousands, if not millions of cans at a time. So that's why you see these smaller, the solution to this is stickers, basically, you know, large and sometimes often very nice looking stickers. I mean, as for a label, or a shrink wrap, which is like a little plastic sleeve that goes over fits tightly over the can, because then you can order as many blank cans as you need, and then the label just gets put on later. But they're kind of janky looking, like the especially the plastic ones. I think, you know, stickers are fine, and there's also another problem, and that's you're putting plastic into this really normally very clean recycling stream of aluminum. Aluminum is like infinitely recyclable. It's great stuff, and that's why, you know, it has value, but that value is degraded by all this plastic entering that stream. So this company in Milwaukee, also in River West, called Craft Beverage Warehouse, and they sell the can. So they started as like a can supplier, but they have this technology that allows you to digitally print on the can, and they special, which is, you know, not that dissimilar from the big boys, but they specialize in small orders. So they are making customers out of these smaller craft breweries so that they can have these, you know, limited runs and, you know, their seasonal beers and that sort of thing. And they look pretty good. Like you could probably tell the difference between maybe a Miller Lite and, you know, a can that's printed on by these, but it's a big step up from, you know, the stickers or the plastic wrap. And one thing I'll say too is like, and this is kind of a, like, be careful when you're doing this, but I have been, some of these plastic sleeves have like zipper labels so that you can actually peel off the plastic part and then, you know, toss that and then recycle this cleaner can. Huh. And if you are like, I am kind of a passionate, like, weird recycler composter person. And I know that I am not doing all that much difference by removing like three plastic labels from these things, but I do it. I keep a utility knife, you know, right next to my where my bottle opener is. I have a utility knife right there, and I'll, after the can's clear, I'll just cut it and peel it off. You have to be careful doing that because obviously alcohol, sharp implements, you know, if you're using like a kitchen knife, it's pretty easy to stab yourself. Not that I've done that, but you know.
But it's possible. I have cut myself with like recently sharpened Cutco knives. That is no joke. And so I guess as you were talking about this and the pros and cons of, you know, labeling and for craft breweries, for smaller, you know, they're not big, like they have to think about their costs about everything, packaging, the cost of labor, cost of the actual ingredients, cost of the actual marketing and stuff. So like when it comes to some of these craft breweries, how much does marketing and the branding in your experience kind of make or break, even if it's really good beer?
Oh, a lot.
So yeah, it is important, I think, as far as like the look of the can or the look of the bottle really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about the most successful craft beer in Wisconsin. Which is?
Well, is Spotted Cow considered a craft beer?
Yes, of course.
It's so big, though. I mean, isn't there a point at which that you, like, if you pass a certain threshold, you're no longer considered craft beer?
yeah, but the people who keep that gate, keep moving the gate fence back,
of course.
You know, so that their stakeholders are remain in the scene. But yeah, I mean, it's like millions of barrels, and I think New Glarus may have done about 300,000 last year, something like that. Right around that. So, okay. But Spotted Cow, I mean, it's a brand. It's part of its appeal is the label and the kind of, and not just that one, but Fat Squirrel and Laughing Fox and Moon Man. And they have a lot of a full, kind of cast of characters that make up their brands. And New Glarus itself has a brand. It's not the most visual brand, but you know, those drawings are from, you know, the brewery owner, one of the brewery owners is, is an artist. And, you know, so I think it's a big part of it. I mean, the beer obviously matters a lot. The cost, you know, how the business is just run behind the scenes, things that you may never see as a consumer matter a lot, but the brand might be one of the most important things.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You'd think that the beer and how good it is should make the biggest difference. But all right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Chris Drosner, the Beer Baron, will still be here to talk about more beer news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
But I think, baby, turn on the good times, turn off the TV. Yeah, the only BS I need is beers and sunshine. Oh, beers and sunshine. Oh, beers and sunshine. Bonfires and summertime, time, time.
On the Civic Media Network, I am your host, Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair is on the board, and we are doing our monthly update with Chris Drosner, the editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of Beer Baron, a column in the Wisconsin State Journal, and also the host of Badger Beer Hour, which is a podcast and live streamed show about beer. And so what's coming up next week on the Badger Beer Hour?
Yeah, I'm actually poaching your special guest for this month's stream. Yeah, we're going to have Samantha Danan from Third Space and the Pink Boots Society as a guest on our next show. They yesterday a bunch of women brewers got together at Third Space Brewing here in Milwaukee and made that beer. And Like a Girl is, I'm not sure the details on it. I know it's an IPA. I think they change it up a little bit every year, but they use a special blend of hops that's coordinated through Pink Boots Society, which is a national organization supporting women in the beer industry. And then that'll be for sale, you know, wherever Third Space beer is sold. So around
as of
the state.
March 8th, right, on International Women's Day?
Yep, it's for International Women's Day. Yes,
right around the corner.
So I'm really looking forward to going a little bit deeper into the beer things with Sam, and then I mean you covered a good things, but it's the beer nerds who listen to our stuff. So,
she's a really great person to talk to,
yeah,
Chris. You're gonna love having her.
Yeah, she was excellent.
Yep.
Dave, you have a question?
So we're excited about that.
That's going to be awesome. We'll have to tune in for that. And then switching gears a little bit from just beer to Milwaukee Magazine, what's in the February issue?
Yeah, well, it's funny. We talked about one of the stories that's one of the features in the issue last month I was on. And it's the unusual thing where we published a story digitally before we put it in the magazine because it was too hot of a story, mm-hmm. basically, to wait until February for. But it's the power of print, man. We have been getting a lot of feedback on this story again, and it's the story of the problems that are going on at Ascension Columbia St. Mary's Hospital. Our reporter Ellie Fishman talked to a whole bunch of nurses and current and former nurses and doctors and surgeons and a lot of people affiliated, you know, with the hospital, and detailing, you know, exactly what nationwide crisis in healthcare workers, shortage of healthcare workers, and how that's playing out within those walls. So that's a banger of a story. We've been getting a lot of feedback on it again. You know, I mean, it's been in our top trending stories basically every day since it was published in December 27th. December 27th. So really an impactful story, and we're delighted that everybody's reading it and hoping that Ascension can get everything sorted out over there, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it's not a good story, you know.
It's not a good story, and it's also, you know, it's a story that needs to be told as far as how bad things are over there. But it's also then the self-fulfilling prophecy that comes from reporting on it is that who wants to go work there? Who wants to go there as a patient? And then, like, how do they turn it around? And I'm not a hospital administrative expert, but, like, to earn back trust after a story like that breaks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say too much about it here because it's not necessarily for me to say, but I think they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, a fun story from the time I was in Milwaukee Magazine. I had a friend DM me, I think on Instagram the other day, who works in advertising, and she said, was sitting in a photographer portfolio review today, and look who showed up in his book. Hope you're doing well. And it was my picture from CJ, is it Faulkner's? That's how I pronounce his last name?
I think so, yes.
And so who was the photographer for the very cool, innovative picture that we had in the women's issue that I was in, that you wrote the excellent piece of me in a stop motion doing all these faces and stuff like that.
I don't know how they did that magic.
I made it into his book.
I don't know how they did that photography magic. Some kind of like double exposure or triple exposures. I don't know.
It was basically
very cool.
He had a blue light, a red light, and I had to act out in like a 3-second long exposure shot all of the different poses. And I would start in the middle with the like neutral face or the concerned face, and then I was literally cursing and swearing, acting out the angry mob that is on the left and the right. And so it was a really fun shoot. And the way that it really didn't take, I don't think, a ton of Photoshop in how it came together. So I'm very flattered that CJ put me in his book after getting to the awesome experience of getting to be in Milwaukee Magazine back in November.
It was awesome. It's a great photo. So it makes sense that he would put it in there. I think we might've entered that in our, for the Milwaukee Press Club Awards. I'm not positive.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Also awesome. All right. Well, Chris Drosner, anything else before we let you go and end the show?
Just one other thing about the February issue. We've got, it's another, I'm not going to say this every month, but it's another great issue. Our Spring Arts Guide is the cover story. Really good stuff there. And we also have our Unity Awards, which is an annual program that we do honoring people who are doing great things in diversity, equity, inclusion, and bringing out all of us together here in Milwaukee, which is a big chore, obviously. So another great issue, and it looks so good. This is month two of the redesign, and it's just, we're really happy with it. So we hope you will be too.
So pick up your issue, unless you already subscribe like I do. All right, Chris Drosner, thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to talk to you. And for us, that about does it for our Thursday show. Tomorrow is going to be a great show. We're actually going to have Mandela Barnes in person. I don't even think I've told Jane that yet.
No.
Mandela's going to be in person to talk about his new The Long Run, which is his new pack that he launched this week. And so in between one of the commercial breaks, his comms director said since he's in town, he's in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee area, he's going to be here in person. So we're going to talk about that. Mark Sommerhauser from Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to be here, not in person, but going to talk about his new report for people to summarize. So we're going to summarize Wisconsin Policy Forum because only nerds read Wisconsin Policy Forum. And then to end the show, since he got bumped by the president, we are going to be talking to my husband,
right,
Michael Sampson, about his very exciting sports card show that is at Gather, and he's collaborating with the Bucks. So if you are a sports card fan, Saturday, check it out. I don't understand it, but I will be there. I will be there.
Oh, you will?
Oh, yeah. This is my
you're doing a good spouse.
My wifely duties to help with the event. But we're going to have a conversation about sports cards and collectibles tomorrow. Stick around for the Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.